Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. Remember by Ram Golder and today Mazakas Bab Matzia Daf Samaches, the fifth parak Ezu Neshech. This parak has been generously sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Eric and Connie Lindenauer. So the three topics we're going to focus on: number one, Rava prohibited several practices because of ribbis, including chachirei narshai, narsharan leases, which state in the collateral document, mishkmele polanya ari lepolanya, poni the borrower pledges land to poni the lender, and then leased it back from him for a fixed yearly amount, possibly more than yearly deduction from the debt. Although mishkanta may be permitted with yearly deductions, this lease is prohibited because people will say, when did the lender acquire it that he can lease it to the borrower? Although he legally possessed the land and may lease it to anyone, leasing it back to the borrower gives the impression that the lender never took it and the lease amount is ribbis. The Gemara says that nowadays that the collateral document states that the lender acquired the land, occupied it for some time, Rashi says 3 years, and then leased it. It was permitted, Kadesh Latino Delis Bifne Loving, in order not to close the door in borrowers' faces. However, the Gemara concludes that even this is prohibited. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Ein Moshin Chenveni L'machasi Schar. One may not set up a storekeeper with goods, which he will sell from for half the profit, nor can one give someone money to buy goods and sell them for half the profit, unless he gives them wages like a worker. This is the arrangement of iska, business, in which one person provides the goods or capital, and the other sells the goods and they divide the profit. The managing partner assumes liability for half the losses of the goods, which renders that half a loan, and he only retains profit from the half loaned to him. Therefore, his selling the goods of the other half is providing a free service for the lender and constitutes ribbis unless the managing partner is paid wages for a service. A braisa teaches that he's paid kapol batul like an idle worker, and Abai explains kapol batul sho'os malacha de batul mina, like a worker who is idling from the specific work he's abstaining from to sell goods instead. His pay is determined by how much less pay he would accept to do lighter work than his usual work. And point number three, in a braisa tanaim dispute how much the managing partner must be paid to permit iska. Rav Meir says, ben meruba ben muat, any amount is sufficient, whether a lot or a little. Rav Yehuda says, afilu latavu imo el betzir, even if he merely dipped food in fish sauce with the one providing the capital, v'lo achlu imo el grogros achas, or only ate one dried fig with him, zeus char, this is sufficient for his wage. Rabbi Shimon Yochai says, no similar schar mishalim, he must be paid his full wages, which Rashi explains to me like a po'al batal, as the braisa taught before. In another braisa, the Tanakhama says, isk is prohibited without paying the manager with goats, sheep, or anything that does not work but eats. A working animal is permitted because its work provides profit. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda permits goats, sheep, and hens for iska because they produce milk, wool, and eggs, respectively, which qualify for the manager's wages. The Gemara explains that all agree that normal shearings and milk are sufficient, and they argue regarding whey and wool shed through rinsing and pulling of thorns. Their argument parallels the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and Rabbi Yehuda. So once again, the 3 points are: number one, Rava prohibited several practices because of ribbis, including chakiri narshai, narshon leases, which state in the collateral document, mishkan lepolanya ari lepolanya, poni the borrower pledges land to poni the lender, v'hada hacharimine, and then lease it back from him for a fixed yearly amount, possibly more than yearly deduction from the debt. Although mishkanta may be permitted with yearly deductions, this lease is prohibited because people will say, when did the lender acquire it that he can lease it to the borrower? Although he legally possessed the land and may lease it to anyone, leasing it back to the borrower gives the impression that the lender never took it and the lease amount is ribbis. The Gemara says that nowadays that the collateral document states that the lender acquired the land, occupied it for some time, Rashi says 3 years, and then leased it. It was permitted, Kadesh Latino Delis Bifne Loving, in order not to close the door in borrowers' faces. However, the Gemara concludes that even this is prohibited. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Ein Moshin Chenveni L'machasi Schar. One may not set up a storekeeper with goods, which he will sell from for half the profit, nor can one give someone money to buy goods and sell them for half the profit, Elim Kenosin L'schar Kapoel, unless he gives them wages like a worker. This is the arrangement of iska, business, in which one person provides the goods or capital, and the other sells the goods and they divide the profit. The managing partner assumes liability for half the losses of the goods, which renders that half a loan, and he only retains profit from the half loaned to him. Therefore, his selling the goods of the other half is providing a free service for the lender and constitutes ribbis unless the managing partner is paid wages for a service. A braisa teaches that he's paid kapol batul like an idle worker, and Abai explains kapol batul sho'os malacha de batul mina, like a worker who is idling from the specific work he's abstaining from to sell goods instead. His pay is determined by how much less pay he would accept to do lighter work than his usual work. And point number three, in a braisa tanaim dispute, how much the managing partner must be paid to permit iska. Rav Meir says, ben meruba ben muat. Any amount is sufficient, whether a lot or a little. Rav Yehuda says, afilu latavu imo el betzira, even if he merely dipped food in fish sauce with the one providing the capital, v'lo achli imo el grogros achas, or only ate one dried fig with him, zeus char, this is sufficient for his wage. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, no similar schar mishalim, he must be paid his full wages, which Rashi explains to me like a po'al batal, as the brisa taught before. In another brisa, the Tanakhama says, isk is prohibited without paying the manager with goats, sheep, or anything that does not work but eats. A working animal is permitted because its work provides profit. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda permits goats, sheep, and hens for iska because they produce milk, wool, and eggs, respectively, which qualify for the manager's wages. The Gemara explains that all agree that normal shearings and milk are sufficient, and they argue regarding whey and wool shed through rinsing and pulling of thorns. Their argument parallels the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon Yochai and Rabbi Yehuda. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Samech Ches, and this Siman was suggested to us by Jeremy Scheinwitz from Woodmere, New York. He suggested that Samech Ches is schach. Schach, so here goes. After the schach farmer was prohibited to pledge his palm tree property for a loan, and then lease it back from the lender via chakiri narshai, since it looks like ribbis, he set up an iska arrangement with the storekeeper to sell his schach and keep half his profits or losses, paying him full wages like a polo batel. Once again, it's a motion. After the schach farmer, that must mean we're on daf samaches, schach. After the schach farmer was prohibited to pledge his palm tree property for a loan and then lease it back from the lender via chakiri narshai, since it looks like ribbis, which reminds the Gemara discusses chakiri narshai, narshan leases, which state in the collateral document that Pony the borrower pledges land to Pony the lender and then leased it back from him for a fixed yearly amount. Although a mishkanta may be permitted with yearly deductions, this lease is prohibited because people will say, when did the lender acquire it that he can lease it to the borrower? Although he legally possessed the land and may lease it to anyone, leasing it back to the borrower gives the impression that the lender never took it and the lease amount is ribbis. So, after the schach farmer was prohibited to pledge his palm tree property for a loan and then lease it back from the lender via a chakiri narshai, since it looks like ribbis, he set up an iska arrangement with the storekeeper to sell a schach and keep half his profits or losses, which reminds us the next Mishnah states, Ein moshivim chemveni l'machsid schar. One may not set up a storekeeper with goods which he'll sell from for half the profit, nor can one give someone money to buy goods and sell them for half the profit, unless he gives them wages like a worker. This is the arrangement of iska, business, in which one person provides the goods, or capital, and the other sells the goods, and they divide the profit. The managing partner assumes liability for half the losses of the goods, which renders that half a loan, and he only retains profit from the half loan to him. Therefore, his selling the goods of the other half is providing a free service for the lender and constitutes ribbis, unless the managing partner is paid wages for a service. So after the schach farmer was prohibited to pledge his palm tree property for a loan and then lease it back from the lender via chakiri narshai, since it looks like ribbis, he set up an iska arrangement with the storekeeper to sell his schach and keep half his profits or losses, paying him full wages like a polo batel, which reminds us in a brisa Tanaim dispute how much the managing partner must be paid to permit iska. Rabbi Meir says, any amount is sufficient, whether a lot or a little. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if he merely dipped food in fish sauce with the one providing the capital, or only ate one dried fig with him, this is sufficient for his wage. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, no son of schar mishalim. He must be paid his full wages, which Rashi explains to mean like a po'el batel. So once again, after the schach farmer was prohibited to pledge his palm tree property for a loan, and then lease it back from the lender via chakir narshai, since it looks like ribbis, he set up an iska arrangement with a storekeeper to sell his schach and keep half his profits or losses, paying him full wages like a po'el batel. All right, so now it's time for a four-block back chazara. Daf Samech Dalet. So the Siman Daf Samech Dalet is sewed secret, and we use a secret agent. So here goes. This secret agent, that must be more on Daf Samech Dalet. Sewed secret. The secret agent waiting for the gourds he bought at a great price to grow an amalong, which reminds us, Rav once gave a shir about one who gives money to a gardener for gourds, and the market price is 10 gourds, each a half amalong for a zuz, but the gardener offered the buyer that if he paid immediately, he would later receive gourds an amalong. In a later version of Rav, he ruled that the gourds are permitted because they grow on their own. So the secret agent waiting for the gourds he bought at a great price to grow an amalong overheard someone buying a barrel of wine to be given at a later date stipulate to the seller that if the wine sours before you give it to me, I get a refund, whereas if it appreciates or depreciates in value, It belongs to me, which reminds us, a buyer permitted to give someone money for a barrel of wine he has to be given at a later date and say that if it sours before you give it to me, it belongs to you, and my money must be refunded, and if it appreciates or depreciates in value, it belongs to me, and the sale remains in effect. A buyer explained that since the buyer accepts the risk of depreciation, carve lazel lazelu, it's considered near to both gain and loss. So the secret agent waiting for the gourds he bought at a great price to grow an amalong over at someone buying a barrel of wine to be given at a later date stipulate to the seller that if the wine sours before you give it to me, I get a refund, whereas if it appreciates or depreciates in value, it belongs to me, right next to a courtyard which a borrower rented out to his lender, giving him no discount. Which reminds us, the next mission teaches about one who lends money. He may not live in the borrower's courtyard for free, nor may he rent it from him for less, because either constitutes ribbis, although they were not original stipulation. Daf Samachay. So the Simur Daf Samachay is a seh, a sheep. So here goes. The shepherd, that must be more Daf Samachay, seh, sheep. The shepherd who paid a higher rent for a pen, since he paid monthly instead of yearly in advance, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Marbinal Sakhar, one may increase the rent of his property for delayed payment, Bain Marbinal Mechar, but one may not increase the purchase price of his sale because of delayed payment. Rabban Rav Yosef explained the difference. Schiros Eina Mishtalemes El Basof, rent is only owed at the end of the term. Since the money is owed at the end of each month, not the beginning of the year, the monthly price of a sale is its actual value and not a charge for delayed payment. Rather, the owner is offering him a reduced rate for paying beforehand. Regarding a sale where payment is owed immediately, any increase in price for delayed payment is ribbis. So the shepherd who paid a higher rent for a pen since he paid monthly instead of yearly in advance, and then also paid a higher price for a new staff he bought on credit, which reminds us, Rav Nachman said, Tarsha Shari, selling on credit for a higher price is permitted. He was challenged from a Mishnah which prohibits charging more for delayed payment, and Rav Nachman answered, Hasam Katzle, there in the Mishnah, he also set from the price for immediate payment, demonstrating that the higher price is a charge for delayed payment. Hacha Lo Katzle, here in Rav Nachman's case, he didn't set from the lower price for immediate payment. So the shepherd who paid a higher rent for a pen since he paid monthly instead of yearly, in advance, and also paid a higher price for a new staff he bought on credit, made a partial payment for a field, and then was told by the seller that when he pays the balance, the field will retroactively belong to him, which is forbidden to do. Which reminds us, the next mishnah states that if someone sold a field and after the buyer gave partial payment, the seller told him that whenever he would pay the balance, he would own the field retroactively, this is forbidden. Rav Huna said in such a case, the seller eats the produce, and Rav Anan said it's held by a third party until the owner during the interim is determined. The Gemara goes on to explain that there is no argument. Daf Samach Vav. So the Siman Daf Samach Vav relates to sew, and we use a tailor for the Siman. So here goes. The tailor, that must be one Daf Samach Vav, sew. The tailor who sewed on the back of the customer's suit, who bought land without a chrais, and was then told by the seller he would be reimbursed completely if a creditor came, Betume Mili Ba'amahu, which reminds us, the Gemara relates an incident of a man who sold a property without a chrais, a guarantee of reimbursement if it's collected by the seller's Baal Chov. The seller saw the buyer was unhappy and pledged to reimburse the land and its improvements and produce with high quality land if it was taken. A Maimar said, Betume Mili Ba'amahu, it's merely words of comfort and not a binding commitment. Since the stipulation should be made by the buyer, since it's for his benefit, and the seller made the offer himself, it's not effective. So the tailor who sold on the back of the customer's suit who bought land without a chrais, and was then told by the seller he would be reimbursed completely if a creditor came, Betume Mili Ba'amahu, and then stitched the word asmacht on the shirt of a lender who stipulated that he could keep the field the borrower gave him as security if he does not pay back on time, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught where a lender said that if the borrower does not pay on time, he can keep his field, which was a security, the stipulation is effective. Rav Nachman retracted his original ruling and said that even if the agreement was made at the time of the loan, well, kind of a low clump, he does not acquire anything. The agreement is an asmachta, a commitment made without thinking he would have to keep it, which Rav Nachman ruled ineffective. So the tailor who sold on the back of the customer's suit who bought land without a chrayas and was then told by the seller he would be reimbursed completely if a creditor came, Betume Mili Ba'amahu, and then stitched the word asmachta on the shirt of a lender who stipulated that he could keep the field the borrower gave him as a security if he does not pay back on time, informed the borrower that his field is returned as well as the produce taken by the lender, not because Mechil Betaus Havi Mechila, but because it looks like Ribbis, which reminds us what Nachman said. Once the rabbis ruled that an asamachta is not binding, the field returns to the borrower and all the produce taken by the lender also returns and is repaid if it consumed. The Gemara clarifies that this is not because Rav Nachman holds mechil b'talis havi mechila, a mistaken waiver is not an effective waiver, but rather that in the case of a loan, the lender must nevertheless return the produce to avoid the appearance of Ribbis. Daf Samach Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Samach Zayin is a sizzling barbecue. So here goes. The end of Zman barbecue, barbecue, that must be more on Daf Samach Zayin, sizzling barbecue. The end of Zman barbecue was a disaster when Bachrim were not allowed to buy land if the seller could redeem it because of Avak Ribbis, which reminds us. The Gemara relates an incident which someone sold property but retained the right to redeem it when he can. This is forbidden because of Ribbis, since if he redeems it, the purchase money was like a loan to the seller, and the buyer's consumption of produce in the interim is Ribbis. The Gemara asks if the produce consumption is considered Ribbis Kutsutsa, set Ribbis, and must be repaid to the seller, or only Avak Ribbis, secondary Ribbis, which he's not forced to repay. Rabba Bar Rav Huna and Rava ruled that it's Avak Ribbis. So the end of Zman barbecue was a disaster when Bachrim were not allowed to buy land if the seller could redeem it because of Avak Ribbis. And then the Bachrim who lent money and received property as a pledge found out that since the Bachrim ate the produce equal to the amount loaned, the borrower could evict them, which reminds us, Rava said regarding a pledge property in a place where the borrower can evict the lender before the loan is due by paying early, then if the lender consumed the field's produce equal to the amount of money loaned, which is forbidden as Avak Ribbis, the borrower can consider the produce as payment for the loan and evict him. Any produce he ate beyond that amount is not collected from him since it's Avak Ribbis. So the end of Zman barbecue was a disaster when Bachrim were not allowed to buy land if the seller could redeem it because of Avak Ribbis. And then the Bachrim who lent money and received property as a pledge found out that since the Bachrim ate the produce equal to the amount loaned, the borrower could evict them since they forgot to arrange a yearly reduction of the debt, which reminds us, Rava said regarding a pledged property in a place where the borrower can remove the lender by paying early, the lender may only eat its produce with a fixed yearly reduction of the debt, which is permitted even if the reduction is less than the produce's likely value, because it's effectively a sale of the produce and not Ribbis, and he accepts the risk of a failed crop. Still, Atzubra Merabban, a rabbinical scholar, should not utilize this leniency to avoid even the appearance of Ribbis, since he serves as a model for others. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which step do you discuss if produce taken on a redeemed sale or mishkanta are Ribbis Kutsutsa or Avak Ribbis? That's on Daf Samach Zayin. Good. Number 2, which step we have Machlok is regarding how much the managing partner must be paid for Iska? That's on Daf Samaches. Good. Number 3, which daf do you have Malkus? If the lender with Ribbis is exempt from Malkus because of a Kumba Ase, that's on Daf Samach Beis. Good. Number 4, which daf do you have that the lender may only eat the produce from a pledged property with a fixed yearly reduction of the debt, that's on Daf Samach Zayin. Good. Number 5, which daf do you have that one is permitted to stipulate for a barrel of wine given at a later date regarding if it sours or if it appreciates or depreciates in value, that's on Daf Samach Dal. Good. Number 6, which daf do you learn about the arrangement of Iska, business in which one person provides the goods or capital and the other sells the goods and they divide the profit? That's on Daf Samaches. Good. Number 7, which daf do you learn that Rav Nachman said Tarsha Shari, selling on credit for a higher price, is permitted? That's on Daf Samachay. Good. Number 8, which daf do you learn about the general claw for Ribbis? That's on Daf Samach Gimel. Good. Number 9, which daf do you learn that Chakiri and Narshai are prohibited since it appears like Ribbis? That's on Daf Samaches. Good. Number 10, which daf do you learn that one may make an advance payment for purchase for produce, but not for payment in the produce's later cash value? That's on Daf Samach Gimel. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.